Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this podcast, End of Effort. This is John. Tonight, I wanted to talk about something very sobering. And my hope and prayer is that you, the listener, will begin to dig a little bit deeper as to the why this global uprising is happening. And I'm going to talk specifically about George Floyd's death and the uprising that's happening in America and really all over the globe in light of COVID and the rest. I'm gonna weave this together to the best of my ability with leaning into the voice of the Lord within, and let's just see what he has to say during this time together. Now, I wanna say a few things up front. That first of all, this is not a political podcast in any way, shape, or form. I am not a political guy, and I don't believe in adhering to or leaning in or holding on to a political ideology or political spirit. I think that is just really surface as to what the underlying issues are and what the underlying heart posture should be in the way that we present ourselves in service to the globe. I don't care where you live on the planet. It's the same everywhere if we do in fact follow Christ. So I'm specifically speaking to the Christ followers, but also to humanity as a whole because of what's happening right now. And believe me when I say this, my heart's grieving along with everyone else right now on both sides of the coin. And what I mean by that is you have some for and against what's happening. It is a polarization that has come to a head in this nation specifically and around the world. We're seeing the uprising of all kinds of paradigms right now in every class, every race, every nationality, every country, every tribe, every tongue, whatever you want to call it. Humanity as a whole is in pain, and I'm going to explain what that pain is and how I see it from my perspective through a prophetic lens. Now, keep in mind, I'm not coming from a political persuasion, like I just said, or a religious persuasion. Jesus didn't die for a religion called Christianity, and I don't adhere to a religion, okay? When I say the name Jesus, when I say God, I'm coming up from it from a pure standpoint of relational interaction with Him, with the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay? Not religious. That has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with creation and being created and becoming one with the Creator. So I'm not affiliated with any denomination, not affiliated with any certain church group, just love the church, love all people. I love humanity, and I love what God is revealing in the midst of all the pain and the chaos, and I'll discuss that as well. So tonight, I hate to date these podcasts, but for the sake of what's going on right now, I don't believe this is the end. I believe this is just the beginning of what we're starting to see in what I want to call on this podcast a global uprising. What does it mean? I'm going to leave it that way. What does it mean? The global uprising. Tonight's headlines read something like this. And again, I'm not biased towards any news group, although I see a misrepresentation on all of the news media channels. I'll just say it like that. But then there's truth to be extrapolated from each and every one. You have to look through and wade through with the eyes of discernment. See, where we get into trouble again, and Amy and I talk a lot about this paradigm level stuff. Each one of us has a certain level of understanding that we see through in our lens of a worldview, depending on how we were trained, depending on what our biases are, depending on how much maturity is going on in our life, meaning that how much of the inner junk have we dealt with? How much of it have we taken time to heal on the inner man and the inside and allowed God to heal us? It's all dependent upon that, because we each one of us will see through a certain level of understanding because of where we've come from and what we've endured in our lifetime. Okay? I don't have time to get into all that again, but I'm just saying that for context throughout this message. Okay, so tonight's headlines read something to this effect: another night of riots erupts in the U.S. as protesters, police clash in New York City, Philly, Chicago, and other cities. You've seen it. I've seen it. It's pretty brutal, some of the imagery that we've seen all over the place. If you're on social media for any length of time, you'll see it in your news feed. If you're watching the news, it's all over. It's blazing all over the news. You'd have to have your head in a hole in the ground to not see or to hear what's going on. And that's okay. If you don't watch the news, fine. You'd be better off. But I just happen to be on social media quite a bit, and then I listen, I watch, and I see, and I discern what is going on. And there's a lot happening, obviously, all the way around the planet. But specifically in the U.S., because of George Floyd's death, some of you may not know this, and most of you do, but George Floyd was really suffocated out. He was in an interaction with the police. You know the story. It's tried to pass a bill to get groceries for his family, supposedly, something to that effect. If I got that exactly wrong, fine. I've read different versions of this, but I've seen the video, okay? I've seen it in its entirety of the police officer putting his knee on George's neck, and then George crying out for help. I can't breathe, okay? It's very, very difficult to watch. Very, very challenging to watch, because anyone struggling and asking for help and nobody coming to the rescue because you have somebody in authority putting their knee on somebody's neck where they can't breathe, okay? It's very, very challenging and difficult to watch. So the first thing I want to say is, I don't even begin to understand what my black brothers and sisters have gone through and are going through currently. We'd be stupid and foolish to sit here and say that we understand as another race, okay? I'll just say that. It would be very foolish to even say, oh yeah, I can relate. No, you can't. And no, you don't. You can relate with human pain. You can relate. I can relate with suffering. But to say that we can relate to that degree of a particular race, we don't. We don't, because you're not that race, okay? So it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that we still have to do this thing in today's world. But it's racism is alive and well. And what I want to say to that is, thank God that there are people that anchor in love, they ground in love, so that they don't see those color lines in the way that they treat one another. Now, we shouldn't be ignorant of the fact that these things are going on and try to bury our head in the sand or blow it off, because that is a wrong posture, in my opinion. There's a lot to be said about that. But I would just say this, is that if you are a Christ follower and you do not feel the pain of what's going on right now, you don't feel the grieving of what's going on right now to a certain level, if you don't feel the grieving of the Spirit of God right now, then I would suggest that you go in and silence yourself before the Lord for a length of time till you feel the heart of compassion again for humanity as a whole, specifically on this issue, because it is an issue. It's been an issue for a long time. And everything that I've seen in the news, every report I've come across, there really is bias in certain people, okay? Let's just really talk about that for a second, because anytime we see one or two, quote, bad apples, and I say that cautiously because every single person on this planet, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, is made in the image of God. No matter how bad they are, no matter how much their behavior has caused destruction at massive levels, every single person is made in the image of God. So we always have to keep that in mind, that their behavior is not what they're made of, the substance of what they're made of, which is made in the image and likeness of God. So to say that every single police officer, everyone in authority is a bad apple is just really misaligned, to say the least. It's just not accurate. And I realize that there's a lot of pain going on. So we lump people together. You know, think about it. Over history, the period of history, we could have said this year after year since the beginning of time, that certain people that represented a certain people group or a certain nation or a certain race, we could have just called the entire race bad apples, right? Because of some of the things that those, quote, one or two leaders did, or the corruption of the few at the top led the group into. We could have just lumped them all together. But there is such a thing as deception. There is such a thing as brainwashing. There is such a thing as really this spiritual pull, if you will, and a mesmerizing effect that comes over and cloaks the minds of those that allow it. And then they become blind. That's why Jesus said, you're the blind leading the blind to the Pharisee. And so just keep that in mind when you're looking at all the chaos on the news and your news feed and social media. It's really easy to side in with the anger and start feeding it and fueling it, even as a Christ follower. It's really easy to do that. You start getting angry, and then you'll lump them all in together. And that's just not fair. It's really not. Because, again, we could say that about many, many people. But having said that, I do acknowledge the extremity, and the enormity of the pain right now that's going on with our brothers and sisters. Okay, it's very real. And again, I don't really understand that, and I'm not going to pretend to. I'm just going to come at this from a spiritual level and just reveal what I felt the Lord prompted me to do earlier. And I've been thinking of pondering on this at different times throughout the day. And it's so important for voices to rise that have an anchoring in the wisdom and love and revelation of God to the degree that they hold it. And what I mean by anchoring is to release and to reveal something from the fruit of the Spirit stance, so that the emotions that are running crazy and running frustrated and high right now can have some sense of reason, a voice of reason in the midst of the chaos. It's so important, friends, that we hear different voices that say, wait a minute, yes, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem here. It's no coincidence that, SpaceX took off just today during the riots, and I'll talk about that some more, but Houston, we do have a problem here. Maybe not with SpaceX, but we have an issue on ground zero in these cities and through the human race. There's an issue. And I wouldn't say it's so much a sin issue as it is an ego issue. An ego lends to sin, okay? But there's an egoic issue that's rising to the surface here. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But back to the headlines. There is another article from Donna Brazile. She calls for unity after George Floyd protests turned violent. She says, we are one people. And whether you love this woman or don't like her, I just want to focus on the quotes here, okay? Okay, guys, please don't get bias on me about certain people when I read their quotes. The point is, things are being said. And there's a commonality in what's being said. Like, I can't breathe. Hashtag, I can't breathe. If you have a million or 50 million people saying something, you have to look at the collective and say, wait a minute, there's a rise in something happening. There's a global rising. And if you look at it from a prophetic lens, you can see that there is a hashtag or a realness after the hashtag that says, I can't breathe. And I want to explain that as well, what I see prophetically that relates to. She says this, Donna Brazili says, as you know, Griff, we're in a crisis, and saying this to the interviewer, and at a moment like this, it's very important that all of our nation's leaders, not just those who are elected, but community leaders, the clergy, everyone come together, she said. This is one of those crises where we do need empathy. We need an understanding of why this pain, why this trauma is causing so much grief. Brazili said the damage being caused by rioters and looters shouldn't overshadow the efforts of demonstrators trying to peacefully honor 46-year-old George Floyd and call for justice. Floyd, an unarmed black man, died while being detained by police in Minneapolis. A white officer put his knee into the neck of the handcuffed man until he went limp on the ground. The officer had been fired and charged with murder and manslaughter. And then she goes on to say, Donna Brazili, I understand that it may be difficult for my white friends, and I have plenty, to understand that this pain is born from a frustration that simply because of the color of your skin, you're pulled over, you're suspected, you are treated as if you're not an American citizen, your life is not valued, she said. So yes, it is George Floyd. We want justice for him. It is also for the young man down in Georgia. It is also for the young woman in Kentucky in her own house. And there are so many other examples that I can give you. But watching that video, hearing a man call out to his deceased mama, begging this officer, pleading with him to remove his knee from his neck, that has gripped us all. That has challenged us, and that should at least at this moment force us to figure out how we come together. Okay, so I've seen a commonality in this kind of narrative from many people in news feeds, and I think it's really important to note, because when there's a commonality, again, hashtag I can't breathe, or saying things like yelling, crying out for his mom, and every woman, every mama in the world has heard this. And this is what's caused or ignited something to grip the hearts of people all over. In other words, there's a crescendo that's happened that's pushed people over the edge to say, enough, no more. Okay, so I'd like to say this to the other side of the coin, those of my brothers and sisters that would say, well, these thugs, why would they continue to riot and ruin and loot everything? Look at this, we just went through COVID and businesses are being destroyed. I get it, and there is some real validity to what you are saying, but at the same time, if we don't acknowledge that pain that's coming up and out of every person of color's mouth, out of their lives, through the hammers, through the steel rods, through the breaking of the glass, if we don't take time to say, wait a minute, let me acknowledge something here and learn and gain some understanding and insight as to why this is happening, then what'll continue is bias, judgment, and blame on either side. And what we have too much of is a chasm of polarity that says, I'm right, you're wrong. This is the way. I'm not changing. I'm not going to see anything any other way. I'm not going to see your side of things. I'm just going to continue down the egoic path of blame and judgment. This is the issue in denominationalism. This is the issue in religion. This is the issue with police and the public. Positions of power and authority that use it for abuse instead of safety. Whatever realm you want to look at, whatever sphere of society, whatever, quote, mountain of influence you want to look at, it's in every sphere. The abuse of power, the abuse of authority, the wrongs, I'm right, you're wrong, the polar opposites, the Republican, Democrat, and we're right, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong mentality. And we're split right down the middle. And especially in America, we are 50-50, if not more heavy on one side or the other. But let's just say we're 50-50 right now on what we believe and what we stand on. But in the midst of it, friends, here's what I want to get to, the meat of the matter. In the midst of it, something beautiful and wonderful is taking place. Oh, John, how can you say that? There's nothing beautiful about any of this. Listen, friends, this is what I'm asking you, is to go past the surface of the pain just for a moment, if you can. lay down the wrath and the anger for a moment to look at a deeper issue here called awakening. And I want to explain something in this, because there's a lot of talk in the religious world about awakening and what it should look like. Okay. I think much of the religious world is missing it to a degree. And this is why. If you're looking at awakening through the lens of past moves of God that awaken people to love and awaken people to get healed and delivered and set free and all those things, if you're looking at it through a lens of the 1900s, a lens of the 1800s, a lens of the 1700s, or anything in the 2000s, we're not doing God a service, not allowing him to be the big God that he is, by framing it up with a paradigm of understanding from yesterday. Why is that? Because we serve an eternal God that is from Alpha to Omega. He is the A to Z. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is everlasting. And guess what? You're made of the same substance. And so if we think that he's going to do everything the same way twice, then that's what religion is built upon. See, religion loves to copycat and cookie cutter its way through life. And I'm not saying all, please hear me when I say this, I'm not lumping churches into that equation necessarily. What I am talking about is the belief behind people. Because the church is people. Would we agree on that? The church is people. It's not a building. Obviously, the buildings have been taken away for a while. And so that blew that grid up, didn't it? So what we're talking about is people. What we're discussing is people. And so when you go beneath the surface of the paradigms, you get the substance of love, what God's made of and what you're really made of. Okay. But when you stay on the surface level, then you have things like institutionalism, spiritual abuse, authority abuse, autocratic, autocratic dictatorship. Okay. A democracy has its pluses and negatives. Okay. And what I mean by that is that you have a free will. We can pretty much do a lot. We have a lot of freedoms to do what we want in a democracy. Okay. But the issue with that is that when ego runs wild, it takes its lead in pushing the limits on everything if it's allowed to run wild, right? And you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility in that whole scenario of how much we let ego run the show. And so when we have denominationalisms and schisms and isms and all of those things on the surface, we play right into cookie cutter theology and cookie cutter methodologies. And we love to copy one another without understanding that, wait a minute, is God really awakening us to have some religious move? I don't think so. Because what's happened in the past is there's been an abuse situation that's happened. And abuse, I mean manipulation. You know, we love to manipulate things to serve our egoic stance, our egoic likes and desires. Ego is a powerful force. Again, when we allow it to run free and run wild, and then we somehow call it the vengeance of God, it's the righteous indignation of God that is leading the way, when all along it very well could be something so surface that's bred from a denominational training. So when you think about this entire thing, look at the globe. Don't just look at America, but look at the globe for a moment. Just go with me here for a second. When you look at the globe, the entire planet, and what's happened with COVID, I've said it before on another message, and I'll say it again, is that this whole COVID thing isolated us to see something very key here individually. But sadly, most of us miss it because we don't know how to be alone with ourselves. We don't know how to be alone when ego is running the show, because we, after all, we want what we want and we want it now. That's called ego, guys. And it may not even be something that some of you are struggling with. You just want to be around other people, you know, and it's not a struggle so much as it is with others that are letting their ego run it, run their lives, right? It could just be for you as, man, I miss my brothers and sisters. I want to be around them in a place of worship, and I want to work again, and I get it. You know, those can be very good things. But because this has been forced and thrust upon us globally, I've said this several times, and I truly believe it even more today, is that we have been positioned to go and be alone with ourselves to the point to where we see what's really dominating our minds, what's really dominating our souls, what's dominating our mentalities, what's dominating our flesh, what's dominating our drive. And so when we sit at home and here's a clue, here's a real clue as to see what we're made of, is if we panic, because if we think that, man, if this goes on one more week, I'm going to lose everything. I already lost my job for some of you. I'm beginning to lose, I can't pay the bills. I'm driving my wife nuts, driving the husband nuts, the kids nuts, the kids are driving me nuts. And if we sit around day after day, allowing those things to wreak havoc in our lives, then it tells us one thing, that ego may be running your show, running my show. And in order for a real awakening to arise, this was the beginning, the start, the beginning of being positioned in isolation to face God and ourselves so that something else could rise up within us and begin to overtake ego's stance. And that's the spirit man of who you authentically are. See, the living in the moment and the present of the now is who you really are from a place of authenticity. Many of us don't even know what that is because we've been so covered up by our busyness and our striving, our sweat and our toil and, you know, the four kids and the three jobs and all the rest. We've just been pounding it out and trying to eke out our survival mentality and our survival mode because that's just what we've known. That's all we've known to do. Even the church. This isn't something, the ego is not something the church talks about, but I guarantee you it's going to. The church at large is going to talk about it more and more because we're awakening to the devastating effects of what ego has kept us trapped in. See, when we allow the impulses and the addictions to run our life, then what we're telling ourselves is that ego, it's okay. It's okay. You can have your way. And then we call it something else, right? We just say, oh, you know what? God's helped me overcome that sin. Or we cast blame, worse yet, we cast blame on the devil all the time or a certain person that made us feel this way or become so entrapped in our highs and lows because of some form of abuse, whether it was spiritual or authoritarian or just in our childhood, right? Whatever the case may be, there is a situation that COVID put us in. And I'm just talking in general, I'm talking globally. Some people didn't go in lockdown. But the whole point being is most of the planet was and still is to some degree. Okay? And because of that, there was a real chance for us to get the answers we were looking for by silencing ourselves in meditation or soaking and just sitting in silence, waiting to see what would arise. And because we don't know how to still ourselves for more than 10 minutes, we let ego take us out of that stance and that posture of just surrender to the still small voice within so that we could see what the direction would be for when we came out of those four walls into the city streets. But now what you have, because of the oppression and suppression of the paradigm that we've operated out of, we've suppressed the spirit man and we've run back out into the streets and some have let the ego take control. And therefore we see rioting and chaos and looting and fires. But something underneath of that, in the midst of it, is crying out for justice, real justice. And see, love isn't passive or intimidated or timid, right? The righteous are as bold as lions. What that means is, in service, we stand in the face of ego and we say no. In service of love, in love service, we stand in the face of ego and we say no. By the mere act of deploying that love service, what Amy and I like to call love specialties. And because we deploy those love specialties from a place of the bigness of the spirit living in the now, then we silence ego and the violence thereof so that we can actually do humanity some good. This is called anchoring in spirit, anchoring in light, anchoring in love. And love is as big as the cosmos, and that's what you're made of. If we collectively anchor in love, we could silence the protests overnight and bring real solutions to the George Floyd's deaths of the world. Instead of breeding and brooding more division and dissension and chaos and racism. See, what's happening is, whether we like to hear this or not, what's happening is there is a global awakening of love consciousness, God consciousness, Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it, but it's a Christ consciousness that is saturated and soaked in love, and it's rising because Jesus just can't help himself anymore, and he's coming to us. Heaven of earth, heaven is pressing into earth inside of us. The kingdom of heaven is inside of us, and so therefore he's ignited something by heaven pressing into earth, and it's causing the push to happen like a push-up popsicle. You remember those things? It's like a push-up pop that pushes what's internal to the surface. And so because it's pressing in and through us, whatever's in there is going to manifest. And if we've suppressed that ego in hiding and isolation and isolating in place, when you come out of those walls, it magnifies seven times over, if you know what I'm saying. It begins to come out in a binge-like mode. I've said this before this even happened. I said that when people come out of this and they've suppressed themselves and not see what this isolation was really about, then that ego would come blazing and it would be like a binge drinker, somebody on drugs would come out and it would just go crazy. We're seeing the manifestation of that now. Now, I will say that in that, intertwined in that underneath, again, is this call for real justice. There are voices of reason out there. There are voices of calm. There are voices of wisdom out there that are saying things like, listen, enough. We're going to bring real solutions now. This has awakened something in me. I'm not going to go the violent route, but what I'm going to do is maybe run for office. I feel a call. I feel a pull to run for office or to become a police officer myself and then work my way up to become a police chief so that we can bring about some change and some shift of the mentalities. But even more than that, dig deeper, friends. That is still yet surface. Underneath of that is the motive and the authenticity of the love specialty beneath that. In other words, what is rising? The Christ consciousness, the love consciousness that says, I'm going to take action in service through who I am made of. And because I'm going to do it with that posture and that positioning, then comes the running for office. Then comes the police chief. Then comes the call for change in legislation. Then comes the starting of the businesses that bring transformation in the earth. See, that's just an outward byproduct of what you're made of aside from ego. This is rightly discerning. This is rightly dividing the truth from the lie. This is the sword coming right down the middle, cutting that thing in half, saying, I am not going to allow ego to run my life, because ego always wants what it wants, and it wants it now. After all, you know what? Hope deferred has caused this to happen, God. So I'm going to go out and do something, and I'm going to put a hammer in my hand, and I'm going to take care of business. You know, when we see things like spray painted all over the U.S. and in many cities, you know, F the police. And when we see, you know, off with their heads and all this kind of stuff, when we see things like that spray painted on the side of corporate America, we have to pay attention and say, wait a minute, this is pain being pushed to the surface because love is rising. And because love is rising through a consciousness, some people are fully unaware that that is what's taking place. All they know is they have to release the pain somehow. It's kind of like this, friends. Here's another example. It's a proven fact scientifically and medically when you look, when you know where to look. And any naturopathic person or any natural health person knows this and understand this well, that there are chemicals in sunscreen that actually match with the chemicals in the food that you've eaten through your sweat pores and through the sweat glands, and they match each other. They marry each other, they kiss each other. And then what does the sun do when you're in the sun? It bakes the chemicals into match the other chemicals that are coming out through your skin pores through that food. The toxicity creates the melanoma, creates the cancer. Okay. You may not agree with that, and that's fine. Listen to your doctor. I'm going to go deeper, and I'm going to find out the truth in the matter, and that's the truth of the matter when you look at every level of that very truth, that very subject, okay? So how does this? What does this have to do with the writing and all that and ego? Everything, because it's an example of what happens in the body, and I say the body in humanity because we are all made in the image of God. So let's just call humanity the body, okay? Listen, we're all believers. Some of us just don't know it yet because why? You're made in the image of God, whether you know it or not, all right? Again, saying you're a sinner and I'm not, or you're unsaved and I'm saved, that what does that do again? That's polarization. That is division once again. And so when we look at this from a God perspective, for God so loved the world, the entire race of humanity, the entire of humanity, then that's what he loves, okay? We can't argue with that, okay? So when you see something like sunscreen and chemicals rising to the surface in a body, okay, the chemicals that come through the body, talking about human anatomy now, human skin, human bodies, okay, in the natural, when it comes up through the pores of your skin, it's a toxic waste that comes out through sweat. That's what sweat glands are for, is to release toxins. So when we sweat, we release those toxins. But what happens? It comes to the surface when our heart races. Comes to the surface when we're in a heated moment. Comes to the surface when we're under the gun or under pressure in a cardiological movement. Cardio, right? You do cardio at the gym and it comes forth and it comes out. And then what happens is the chemicals that we place on the skin called sunscreen start to wreak havoc. Think about this with the rioters and the looter situation. When the chemicals of the tear gas match the level of the egoic nature that's springing forth violence, then what do you have? You have a clashing moment. Cancer and decay start to take over the society. So what happens is when you have violence meeting with the authoritarianism of trying to gain control of a society without understanding why they're ticked off to begin with, then you're going to continue to have division and strife and polarization. You're going to continue to have hatred. You're going to continue to have dissension and wrath and all the rest. Really what it is it's ego clashing with ego. It'll never work. You may restore order and calm for a moment, but you still have a lot of angry folks that have not been heard. So what needs to take place? Love is rising. Egoic things need to come out and express themselves. And I'm not condoning violence here, guys. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not condoning violence for one moment on either side of the coin. All right. What I am saying is there's a global happening, a global awakening taking place. And God is doing this behind the scenes, so to speak. But for those that have discernment, they understand what's happening. But because it's happening, it's pushing the egoic things that we struggle with to the surface, and it's clashing. It needs to express itself. You ever sit in front of a marriage counselor, or you've watched a couple hash it out in front of a marriage counselor, or two people argue with a mediator? One of them is allowed to get it out and the other one's allowed to get it out. But when they're left to their own devices, neither one of them get it out and the clash continues. But when you have a mediator involved, then the poison, so to speak, begins to come up and out. And what happens when you get it out? You become more healed. Healing here and a healing there starts to take place and your paradigm begins to shift and you go, wow, I feel much better now. That's why you see rioters and looters walk by a store, blow it up and blow it out and move to the next. And the cleaners come up behind them. Notice that they don't sit there and camp there for weeks on end. They're trying to get the anger and the pain out, but nobody's listening. See, if we would do a better job of listening to the pain of your own congregation and be relatable to the point where you stick your ear out before your mouth opens, then guess what? You've just heard the pain of your brother or sister and they feel so much better and they get healed in the process. Oftentimes, the best counselors are the ones that let people get it out and they don't say a word to try and fix, get it now, hear it now, fix the issue. This is beyond human fixing, guys. This is a spiritual issue because ego is directly involved and ego is being disseminated. Ego is being silenced once it comes out and expresses itself in a global sense so that it can make room, move out, clear out for love to begin to dominate and take over through what? Service and solution. Okay? So, to all my black brothers and sisters out there, I just want to say this. You know what? I am grieving with you. Do I understand what you're going through? No. Again, I don't pretend to, but I will say this. I feel the pain of the planet, the groaning of the planet for the sons and daughters to arise in love, to move the egoic nature to the side so that we can, that can be heard, yes, so that it can be heard, but then come through with love solutions, the love specialties that we are. Because love, what? Always wins out. Hatred never wins anything. It always loses. And so I just say to you, express yourself, hopefully not in a violent way. The violence definitely needs to cease. Okay. But do I have a determination of when that should stop or when that should be? No. And I wouldn't even say that I pretend to as well in that situation, because listen, some people's deep, the level of pain goes way deeper than others. All right. It goes way, way back and it comes through the generational line. And so they're dealing with some heavy groans here, friends. Some heavy, heavy groans that come from way back that haven't been expressed, haven't been allowed to be expressed in a way that they could be heard without violence ensuing. But since we have this situation upon us, we need to pay attention to what is really being displayed here and understand that, yes, on the heels of the pain being expressed, here comes love winning the day. Here comes love winning the day. It's coming, friends. It's rising now. It's rising now. Whether you see it, feel it, know it or not, love is winning. Because all it's doing is pushing that pain to the surface so that it can come up and out and take over like a cleansed body would so that it can sweat out clean substance so that the spray of the chemicals doesn't come in effect and start to drive the cancer cells into decay. We just don't need any more of that. So the cleansing is here. It is happening and the awakening is upon us, but it is not going to be like my religious friends, my believing friends believe it will be. You know, it always amazes me how some people go back and sit at the graves of people like Smith Wigglesworth and other pioneers of the faith, and they'll sit by their graves and try to extract something as if they could at their tombstone just to try and invoke another move of God. Listen, We honor those that have gone before us, but if you think it's going to come that way, God never does anything the same way twice like this. And we live in a new dispensation of time. We live in a new season. We live in a global, oh Lord, we live in a global move, a global community. And we're not talking about the one world order as if you think it's going to happen that way as well. Okay, I don't have time to get into that, but it's amazing to see how many believers out there, followers of Christ, have bought into this end time theology that says that, oh my gosh, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. See, Lord, you got to take us out of this mess. And they have a checkout rescue mentality to just go ahead and beam me up, Lord, through the rapture. And they just want to avoid everything difficult and everything hard. Listen, what this world needs now is love anchored, not leaving. Not trying to get out of here on the space shuttle, SpaceX. You're not going to X yourself out of here so fast. I don't think so. What we're going to do is X marks the spot and anchoring in love and the planet so that this world can be transformed. Not the way we want it, but the way love would have it. It's much different than our paradigm would speak of in the moment. See, we think it's going to go down one way. Friends, we're in for a rude awakening if we're anchoring in our paradigm that says it's got to be this way or the highway. That's what's gotten us into trouble to begin with. I tell you, there is an uprising happening. There is a shift happening. There is a transformative move that's taking place underneath the pain, friends. It's called real awakening. And is it messy? Is it brutal? Yes, it is. Because things are surfacing in the soul of man, pushed out to the outer man to express in many different violent ways, many different brutal ways, many different, the ego's brutal. It's brutal when it's being displayed, when it's all on display in media. You see it for what it is. Hammers going through windshields and the innocent business is being burned up and destroyed. You know, like the black bar owner back in Minneapolis. My heart was just grieving for the man. He saved his whole life to open it up. And I don't care what you think about a bar or not. The guy, just look at it as a business, okay? He saved his whole life to have something he worked hard for burned up in a minute. Some of you say, well, good. Listen, that's the wrong attitude. If it was your business, you wouldn't be saying the same thing, okay? What if it was a florist shop? Listen, there's businesses all over these cities that are being burned to the ground of innocent people that have not partaken in any of this, you know, police brutality stuff and, being on that side of the coin, abusing, being the abuser, in other words, and they haven't rioted and looted. You know, what about those people? Everything we do has a rippling effect of consequence beyond our pain. Remember that, friends. When you're yielding to what's coming to the surface, just keep that in mind that love is going to win the day. And there are consequences for how we act out and lash out. And trust me, I get it to a degree, the pain that's coming forth right now. That's why it's not, I'm not freaking out about it. I'm not, it's not taking me out. I'm grieved, yes, just like you are. But I see underneath of it all, and there's real, tangible hope. I have never been more excited for the hope that's rising, the love that's rising, the Christ consciousness that's upon us right now, the entire planet. The sons and the daughters of God are beginning to arise, and the entire planet has been groaning, and the groaning has been heard, and now it's expressing itself through the pores of mankind. Watch what comes next. You talk about moves of God. It's not a religious move of God. This is a love movement that's rising and moving across the entire globe. And guess what? It's not going to look like your religious box anymore because your religious box has gone away. Some of y'all have lost your buildings. And as sad as that is, and trust me, I'm not applauding that. You may have saved and worked your entire life to get a building or something. You know, listen, my heart grieves for all of humanity, all right? But just know this, if your building went away, God has a better way. You're going to have to trust him and believe that so that you can see that there is a new day upon us dawning. And because that new day is here and it's pushing and it's rising to the surface, the sons and daughters of God are rising up and things are clearing out. It's messy when the things are clearing out, friends. It's messy. It's messy. It's messy. You ever felt that lately? You've wondered why you've been more agitated. You've wondered why you've been more irritated. You've wondered why you've been more angry and frustrated and confused. It's because it's being pushed to the surface and it's getting more challenging. And if you stop the blame game, if you stop judging, then you'll see that it's merely love rising and pushing the poison out so that you can let love win out. And so that you can live and move and have your being in the greatness and the goodness of God in this day and this hour and see society's transformation without all the religiosity attached. It's all being dismantled. Every level, every institution, every sphere of society is being dismantled like crazy. It's because God loves humanity, and it's because God is moving in a deep, rich way. He just wants you to go inward and see what he's actually doing instead of reaching outside of yourself all the time through addiction and through blame and judgment, blaming the devil every time something bad happens. Listen, the more we blame, the more we remain unhealed. Ooh, that is a good word for somebody. The more we cast blame and judgment, the more we remain unhealed as an individual and as a society. So for the George Floyds of the world, I'm with you. I heard your cry on the pavement and the asphalt of pain. I heard it. I heard the blood cry out. Do I understand what you ultimately went through? No. But I heard the pain and I'm with you. I'm also with my brothers and sisters that wear the badge, that are doing the job out of a service of love. I'm with the looter underneath the looting. Hear me again. I'm with the looter and the rioter underneath the looting and the rioting. I'm with your spirit man. I'm with the real you. And I say that you will rise through this. You will be healed. You will come forth as a son and daughter of love to express your love specialty in the earth like you've never known before. You're just getting the pain out and it's being removed. There may be consequences to that, but you will rise through it. You will rise through it. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of love. Listen, all of you bashing the rioters and the looters, I know it's intense. I know you may have lost much through your business, but remember this. Keep this in mind if you're a Christ follower. Paul orchestrated the deaths of many in the name of God. Deaths in the name of God. Then the illumination came and love rose and love won out in the end. The disciples didn't like him at first because they thought he was still moving in and out of the pain of egoic stance. But then they soon realized that transformation came because the poison came out in the moment of revelation on the road to Damascus. Got to go deeper, friends. Deep, deep calls into deep. Go deeper. And you'll see that we are in awakening.